One cold morning a few months afterwards, an old lady knocked on the door of an office in the financial heart of London. Painted on the door were the words, S. Lockhart, Financial Consultant. After a moment, a voice, a female voice, called out, Come in! And the old lady entered the room. S. Lockhart, the S stood for Sally, stood up behind her cluttered desk. She was a remarkably pretty young woman of 22 or so, with blonde hair and deep brown eyes. The old lady took one step into the room and then hesitated because standing on the hearth in front of the coal fire was the biggest dog she had ever seen. As black as night and, to judge from its shape, a mixture of bloodhound, Great Dane and werewolf. Down, Chucker, said Sally Lockhart, and the great beast sat peacefully. Its head still came up to her waist. It's Miss Walsh, isn't it? How do you do? The old lady shook the hand she held out. Not altogether well, she said. Oh, I'm sorry, said Sally. Please, sit down. She cleared some papers off a chair, and they sat on either side of the fire. The dog lay down and put its head on its paws. If I remember correctly, I'll get the file in a minute. I helped you with some investments last year, Sally said. You had £3,000, isn't that right? And I advised you to go for shipping. I wish you had not, said Miss Walsh. I bought shares in a company called Anglo-Baltic on your recommendation. Perhaps you remember. Sally's eyes widened. Miss Walsh, who'd taught geography to hundreds of girls before she retired and who was a shrewd judge, knew that look well. It was the expression of someone who's made a bad mistake and has just realised it and is going to face the consequences without ducking. The Ingrid Lind, said Sally. Of course, and wasn't there a steamship that sank as well? I remember reading about it in the Times. Oh dear. She got up and took a large book of newspaper clippings from the shelf behind her. While she leafed through it, Miss Walsh folded her hands in her lap and looked around the room. It was neat and clean, though the furniture was threadbare and the carpet worn. There was a cheerful fire in the hearth and a kettle hissing beside it. The books and the files on the shelves and the map of Europe pinned to the wall gave the place a businesslike look of purpose. As for Miss Lockhart, she was looking grim. She tucked a strand of blonde hair behind her ear and sat down, book open on her lap. Anglo-Baltic collapsed, she said. Why didn't I notice? What happened? You mentioned the Ingrid Lind. There was another ship, a schooner. Not a steamship. That was lost too, and a third ship was impounded by the Russian authorities in St. Petersburg. I don't know why. But they had to pay an enormous fine to have her released. Oh, there were a dozen things. When you advised me to buy into it, the firm was prospering. I was delighted with your advice. And a year later, it was finished.
It changed hands, I see. I'm reading this for the first time. I cut out things like this so as to have them for reference, but I don't always have time to read them. Weren't they insured against the loss of the ships?
There was some complication. Lloyd's refused to pay out. I didn't understand the details. There was so much bad luck, and so suddenly, that I almost began to believe in curses, in a malevolent fate.
The old lady was gazing into the fire, holding herself perfectly upright in the worn armchair. Then she looked at Sally again.
Oh, of course I know that's nonsense, she went on more briskly. Being struck by lightning today doesn't prevent you from being struck again tomorrow. I'm quite familiar with the theory of statistics. But it's hard to keep a clear head when your money is vanishing and you can neither see why nor prevent it. I've got nothing left now but a tiny annuity. That £3,000 was a legacy from my brother and a lifetime savings.
Sally opened her mouth to speak, but Miss Walsh held up her hand and went on.
Now please understand, Miss Lockhart, I do not blame you. If I choose to speculate with my money, I have to take the risk that I shall lose it. And at the time, Anglo-Baltic was an excellent investment. I came to you in the first place on the recommendation of Mr. Temple, the lawyer of Lincoln's Inn, because I have a lifetime's interest in the emancipation of women, and nothing pleases me more than to see a young lady such as yourself